is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace.
Joshua 24, he challenged the people. He said, if serving the Lord is distasteful to you or displeasing, then choose today who you're going to serve. The people responded, as for me and my house, we choose you, Lord. Today's the day. Let's stand on up.
Eternal King, Lord of hosts. my voice and live today. I choose to follow you.
Sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again.
Lord, reign in me, reign in your power, over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord.
Lord God, we just thank you for bringing us through another week and bringing us to this place. We're all very thankful for warmth and sun and growth and just life that is out there that from the doldrums of winter. And God, we just ask for that same thing to go on in our spiritual life, just warmth and growth and life. As you bring that here today, let us just have an awesome day in worship to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before you sit down, I want you to greet those around you. And the rest can go, our children can go to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome to Haven Community Church. We hope you're here to have a good time. That's what we want to do today and just worship the Lord. What a great week of weather, right? Sound good? Anybody enjoy yesterday and the day before? Okay. Forget about those rainy, cold days and all that stuff. All right, just a couple announcements. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We hope you'll fill out a card. We have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of the worship here today. And so we really are thankful that if you'll just fill that in, you can take it out here. We'll have a great time to connect. And we have, as I said, a small gift. Next week, we're going to have coffee and donuts next week to go ahead and connect. And just if you have any questions about church, kind of informative session right after church. And it's very informal and gives you a chance to ask specific questions and maybe even spawn some other ones. Then followed on May the 3rd, we will have our 101 class, which is an introduction to the Haven family. It could be if you want to join. A lot of people want to join the church, and that's a process. You may just want to find out a little bit more that the coffee and donuts didn't answer, and we get into more specifics. And if you look at this as your church, or you just want to find out if it could be your church, it's a great atmosphere to come into, connect, listen, and ask questions. Today after church, we are having Haven Fellowship with a luncheon with a baked potato bar with lots of toppings. We're also going to have some hot dogs for children and adults who aren't into baked potatoes, but are into hot dogs. So you're welcome. All are welcome if you have any questions. So we're going to have some people that are going to transform. Anything specific, Stephen? Okay. So if you want to, we're going to move some tables in here and just move some chairs around right afterwards. And so if you want to help out, please go ahead and do so. Youth confirmation class starting next Sunday. We're looking at ages 12 and up who have not gone through confirmation class to participate. It'll be at least 4 weeks, and it'll be during the Sunday worship, during our Sunday school time. And Debbie DiVirgilio's information is there, or you can also sign up online to do that. And it's a great opportunity to connect and find out more in that age range. Spiritual gifts class. You can see this is the 27th. It's going to start the 27th. That's a Monday evening. It's going to be a small group study on spiritual gifts. How many know exactly what God wants you to do in life? Everybody, raise your hands. All right, so you're all eligible. Here we go. Because God, we all believe that God has given us spiritual gifts. The scripture says that we're all part of the body and everybody has a gift. Just as our hand has one job and our eye has another, that God endows us and gives us special spiritual gifts, not only natural gifts, but spiritual gifts. And in order to do that, we are going to be conducting, and I challenge everybody who wants to find out God's will for your life to participate in this. It's going to be discovering God's vision for your life, you and your spiritual gifts. It will be Monday nights at 7 p.m. from April 27th to May 18th, and then also beginning in May for our Wednesday morning group. They're also going to start one in May as well. So you have two opportunities. If you say, I work at night, I can't, we're going to have one in the beginning of May that's going to open up so you can go ahead and participate in that as well on Wednesdays as part of the small group. So we do challenge you to be part of that. It's a major thing. Sign up. I believe we have a sign up that's going around. You can sign up the old-fashioned way here, or you can do it through email or just go online. So if you're watching online today because you can't make it and you want to go ahead, jump online, sign up, and we'll make sure you get part of that. You can see a Vacation Bible School meeting on May the 3rd. And if you have any questions, you can talk to Melissa Cohen. I know her a little bit. She's my wife. Dining for Women, May 7th. And then today is our Paris Foundation. The Paris Foundation will in Elkton, that's right next to the Pretzel Factory. There's Pretzel Factory, Dog Wash, Paris Foundation. So, and then Hope Ministry event for anyone. It was really cool this week. I was at the college, and I had somebody mention that they were going to participate in the Narcan training. He said, is that at the church that you're at? I said, yes. So we challenge anyone. As you know, drugs is not only a major deal here, but it is everywhere anymore. And if you know someone who is abusing prescription painkillers or street drugs like heroin or other opiates, mark your calendars. The Cecil County Health Department is going to help do training. John and Laura Wright. I see Laura. Is John working today? Okay. Oh, that stinks. He just got back from vacation. Has to go to work. So Laura's here today. If you have any other information, you can contact them at the email. We'd like, if you're planning on coming, to sign up just so they have a kind of
around the bat, around the park kind of idea. But bottom line is, this is something that you can actually, people's lives have been saved through knowing how to administer this properly. So I would say definitely go ahead and sign up. And our last announcement, Jill's going to talk about, next Sunday we're going to have what is called Compassion Sunday. And so Jill's going to go ahead and talk a little bit about that.
So, yes, next Sunday, Melinda, if you can put up the charge for this, I wanted to just talk to you personally about compassion. Next Sunday is Compassion Sunday, and I wanted to tell you about my compassion child. Her name is Nekayinji Ziana, and she goes by Ziana, which is much easier. But about a few years ago, go ahead to the next chart, Melinda. She was age four at the time I adopted her, and she's from Uganda. Her situation was she lives in Uganda in an area that's HIV very prevalent. Almost everyone has HIV. Her mother died of HIV, and she lived with her grandmother and four other children. The houses have dirt floors, and she had to do a lot of jobs. But what appealed to me was she liked singing and playing with dolls, and she just, the look on her face just really spoke to me. She went to church but didn't have a sponsor, so I adopted her as part of a compassion effort. Go to the next slide. Since that time, it's been really awesome. I get letters from her all the time. I write to her. I send her pictures. These are some of the pictures she sent to me around wanting to be a doctor. And she says every time, "I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. How are you? I'm okay. I love you so much and pray for you." These children really are so excited when they get someone who cares for them, because having a sponsor means that someone cares for them. My favorite verse is Matthew 7:7. It says, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you." I learned that if I ask God for knowledge, he'll give it to me. And then the last one, "I love my project." That's what we fund through sponsoring kids so much. We do a lot of singing and we learn about the word of God. So you can see that this is the kinds of things that I see from my child and I can write to her. Next slide, Melinda. And I get to watch her grow. These are pictures of her that they send me on a regular basis. You can see how she's growing and flourishing. And it's about teaching these kids, not only helping them out of poverty, but teaching them the word of God. And the last one I wanted to show, next slide, is small gifts. This is like $40 a month, and you can split it with multiple people if you so desire. But this is, you see the smile on this face here? I gave her a birthday gift, and you see she says, "She sent you a photo with a goat that she bought. Her grandmother topped it off with 60,000 shillings, okay, only. And she's expecting to harvest this. Since this time, they've gotten a plot of land, and they're selling cheese and milk from this goat." And she just talks about a memory verse here. It says, "The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge." She says, "In this, she learned to be a disciplined girl." She says, "May God bless you and your family and your work this year, 2012, so you will prosper and find peace. Goodbye from your lovely daughter." So I really ask you guys, think about this and pray about this next week. If you came in and saw children scrolling, those are children that are looking for adoptive families. So I just pray that you would take the opportunity, think about it, get with someone else, and think about adopting a child. Thank you.
As Jill mentioned, a lot of times we forget that we are so blessed to be born and raised in a country where we have so much. And Jesus was very clear in saying, when you do to the least of these, you also do to me. And you can see through these slides and these pictures that it's not just a picture, it's a life. And if you really say, "I want to impact a life," maybe a couple of you, maybe $40 is a lot for you. I'm not going to minimize that. And so you say to somebody, "Hey, let's do this together." Maybe small groups want to get together and do several. Whatever you want to do, it's about making an impact for Christ. And how there used to be an old song called "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." And it talked about how a missionary came to your church, pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave anyway. And when you did, the gift you gave is, the person says, "That's why I'm here today. It's about people in heaven." So the gift that you give, we give so much money to so many things that don't matter anything. Anybody pay your taxes this week? All right. And I don't know whether that's helping anybody get closer to Jesus. May help us get a little bit further away as we wrote the checks. But either way, if we go ahead and we just seed a little bit of that money together to change a life, that's active ministry. So be praying about that this week and considering more. All right, and now let's go to our time of prayer. A couple we want to lift up. Stephanie Waddell asked for prayers for Gene Waddell and family. I've known Gene for about 20 years now, and Gene has been having some health issues and is intubated right now in Christiana Hospital. So we want to pray for him. For Mike Berdinka, prayers for his brother-in-law who has health problems and may be in a wheelchair. We're going to pray for him. Hannah wants to get better in math and to get better in dance. And I think you're awesome, honey. And Gary Ashby, relief from congestion in throat and easier breathing. And we do want to...
For Liz.
Okay, for Liz. I didn't say for Liz. So we want to do that for Liz. Also want to keep in mind, again, the family of the Briones family, the family of Nancy Briones in prayers. And also, many of you may know Kenny Burroughs. His father passed away this week. So we want to go ahead and lift the Burroughs family in your prayers as well. Okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we come to you today and we recognize that there are so many needs, so many concerns, and so many issues that we face in our lives. But we recognize that it is through you and in you that we have hope. God, several years ago, through Compassion International, someone got a vision to really reach out, and by doing so, has changed the lives of millions and millions of children. God, there are those, in some of the announcements, I thank you for a church that is willing to step outside of the boundaries of how church normally is to say, you know what, we have an issue in our community, let's train people with Narcan training so that lives can be saved. Let's go ahead and reach out into the community and work tonight to feed the homeless in our community. Not for a pat on the back for us, but to change the world for you. And so God, we also recognize that there are those who are struggling with health, and we know that you're going to minister to them, and you say that we're going to come together and lift them up in prayer, and we're going to let you work out the healing process, God. For those who've experienced loss this week, we know that that things will never be the same, but God, you can make a way. You can bring peace to those who are left without a spouse and those who a mother or father has gone on. For those who struggle with illnesses, you can bring the healing and bring peace. Whatever the situation is, God, you're the answer. And Lord, as we recognize and we just said, we are so blessed to live in a country that is so affluent, one that we just take for granted all that we have. And we give you thanks for having us in this community, in this part of the world. But you didn't put us here to just focus on ourselves, but to give back to you through your tithe and our offerings. And so God, as we give back during this time, whether it's through a text, a click of a mouse, or whether we put it in a plate, regardless, God, we know that you're going to bless that tither and giver, and that you're going to take that gift and multiply it and use it to further the many, many needs that are here and around the world. And we ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Yeah. Your justice flows like the ocean tide. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness is like a mighty mountain, yeah. Your justice flows like the ocean tide. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King, and I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings.
Let's start again from the beginning. Your love, O Lord.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky. Your righteousness, like a mighty mountain, yeah. Your justice flows like the ocean tide. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King, and I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Faithfulness stretches to the sky. The
scripture this morning, is found in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, 13 through 18. I would invite you to follow either in your Bible or it's on the screen. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, only because in Christ it is taken. Even this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
All right. Good morning. I stand before you a year older.
My next double digit will be 55, so I'm 44. My next double the same digit, but hey, it's all good. Somebody in my class this week said, "You're 44? That's old." I said, "Yeah, but I look really good." So, in a humble way, is what I said. So, and then they laughed at me, and we went on. Okay, good to see you here today. Gosh, isn't it crazy? It's already April is almost over. It's wild. It just seems like we were hibernating for so long this year for some reason. But we're getting to where it's spring, and I love this time of year. It's good. There's anticipation. Everything's green. I love it now, but pretty soon I'll be griping about cutting grass, right? We'll be doing that. But it's a heck of a lot better than ice and snow. But today, I thank Stephen for reading that verse today. It's where we're going to be, and it's an interesting verse. There's a lot that we have to go back in. We are continuing with our series, The Hope, and today we're going to talk about posting problems, and you might be wondering where we're going to head with that. But, you know, this verse started with, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. So when we have hope, when you have hope in something, we get very bold. Almost kind of cocky in life. I think about people like, I always think in sports, and I think about Joe Namath when he was going into the Super Bowl, and he said, oh, we're going to win, and everybody laughed at him. Remember that? Everybody laughed at him, and they won. There was like a nature, but he had such hope and confidence. Those two things went together, and you know, when we have hope, it gives us kind of like this atmosphere to just hang in there. It causes us to hang in when those people who seem to be lost causes, we hang in there with them and don't give up on them no matter what. And so we are going to talk today a little bit more about hope in the midst of this. And next week we're going to continue with a little bit more and with some of that, some worship and some other things related to the theory of hope. So I want to ask a question today. How many of you have been exposed to this thing called social media? There's this thing called a Facebook. It's on the internets, okay? That anybody haven't doing anything with Instagram? Okay, a couple Instagram, Snapchat. Where are the young people? Oh, we got rid of them all. Oh, there's the young people right there. Snapchat, Twitter. What about Pinterest? Okay, now everybody raise your hand. Pinterest. Go ahead. Who does Pinterest? Raise your hand. Look around. Who's got their hands up? Huh? Women, yes, you know, there a lot of people use Pinterest. Pinterest is an interesting, they estimate 81% of Pinterest users are female, and 90% of the pins are, which is what they call the little posts, are from women, and about probably the rest are ideas for men to do. but it's very, right, am I right? But, you know, when we started thinking about this, I wanted to just kind of go ahead. I saw a lot of things, and it is the one social medium that has the majority being female, and we just displayed that in here. Well, now, how many men? Come on, men. How many of you ever got on Pinterest? Raise your hand, men. All right, there we go. Hey, you are manly, and so am I. Let's go. There's some really cool guy ideas on there, too. Trust me. but I thought I would go ahead and look up a definition for Pinterest to help you. And this is from Wikipedia, and it says, Pinterest is a free website that requires registration to use. Users can upload, save, sort, and manage images known as pins and other media content, e.g. videos and images, through collections known as pin boards. Pinterest acts as a personalized media platform. Users can browse the content of others on the main page. Users can then save individual pins to one of their own boards using the pin it button, with pin boards typically organized by a central topic or theme. Users can personalize their experience with Pinterest by pinning items, creating boards, and interacting with other members. By doing so, users' pin feed displays unique personalized results. Okay, so I want to tell you my definition of Pinterest. Is a visually driven social media website strategically geared for nonstop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year reminder that your kids are not as well dressed as your neighbor's kids. Your home is decorated like crap. The photos that you take are amateur and lack artistic value. You did a horrible job of planning your wedding, your daughter's sweet 16 party, your son's graduation, your parents' anniversary, and other events. You lack creativity or substance in your mundane, monotonous, dull existence that is draining any remaining life out of you. Unlike the lives of everyone else around you whose lives are creative, vibrant, and all around awesome all the time, you big loser. What do you think? Now, pretty good, right? Get on Pinterest today, you'll find out. We live in a weird time. A good time, but a weird time. We live in a time where we exist in a time of constant comparison with everyone else. More than any generation before us, we have posting problems. As we work so hard and so much effort to present ourselves and our perfections for everyone else to see. Now, there, I read to you a little bit about Pinterest, and it's kind of cool. You can get lost on it for a while. But there's this other site I like better called Pinterest Fail, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing in a rebuttal to what he calls super apostles. And these were people who thought they were awesome. They thought they knew everything about Jesus, and they were the ones who had it all together. They claimed to be superior to Peter, James, John, all those guys, Andrew, all of them. They tried to put others down, and by putting others down, they were building themselves up. Sound like any posts that you've done or read lately? And here Paul decides to take another approach. He's tired of dealing with these super apostles, these self-proclaimed super apostles. And he is in a kind of a testy mood right now, and he's looking at them as a spiritual father. And basically, anybody who's parents here, you kind of understand this. You know how, like, there reaches a point in your time where you are not the main factor in your kids' decisions? Does that, anybody recognize that? That other people have influences on your children that you don't. A matter of fact, once you say something, they go, oh. But somebody else says the same thing, and like, oh, that's great. And you're like, hello, can you hear me? You know, am I here? Do you see me? That kind of thing. And so what Paul is here saying is he's really a little bit testy, and he's saying, I am your spiritual father. I am the one that birthed you as a church. I am the one that cared for you. I am the one that really, really loves you. I am the one that wiped your snotty nose. I am the one that changed your spiritual diapers. And now I've got problems with these super apostles. You're not listening to me. And what we have, Paul is saying all these other people are photoshopped. And years ago I would have said airbrushed, but photoshopped. They're made to look better than they are. And he said, I'm bold. And I want to show you what's going on here. Now remember I told you that about this site. We're going to drop back a little bit. I told you about this site, Pinterest Fail. And so I want to show you some of these things. Anybody ever seen Pinterest Fail? It's awesome. You're going to be on there all day after this. Okay, here's this thing called crayon art. And isn't that cool? I think my kids actually did that one point. And what you do is you glue these on nice in a row, and then you take a hair dryer and they leak down. And looks cool, right? And so let me show you what this person did right here. Go ahead, Melinda. All right. Everybody say fail. All right. All right. How many like creative food? Like a little design, like for a special occasion. Like Easter, you might have had like something a little bit different. You make the jello and like the egg molds and stuff. Well, look at this one. Isn't this cool? Deviled eggs. Look at that. Isn't that cute? Yeah, see, isn't that cute? Little deviled eggs. And so someone thought, okay, I can really do this. And so let's take a look at this one. All right, yeah. Everybody say fail. There we go. All right. Looks like they got run over by a hedge clipper. All right. All right. Anybody ever done origami? You know, where you fold papers together to bring up this great art? Look at this one right here. This is really kind of cool. Isn't that awesome? All right. So this was on Pinterest and had the directions. So somebody said, heck, I'll go ahead and try this. Look at this one. Everybody say fail. All right. Good stuff. Have you ever seen that movie Despicable Me? You might have some kids' birthday parties coming up, and they really like Minions, those little yellow guys. Look at this cake. Isn't this an awesome cake? This was on Pinterest, too. Isn't that cool? That's amazing. And cake decorating is a big thing now. So, of course, we can do it. And this person said, yeah, I can rip this off. My kid really likes it. Let's take a look at this one. All right. Everybody say fail. All right. All right. You know, I remember, we like to get these, it's something really big now. I know Laura and some other people take incredible photos in here. And, you know, there's nothing really as awesome when you get your kids together and get a good photo. Look at this one right here. Isn't that adorable? Look at them. Little, one looks at the top up asleep, and it's just awesome. So, you know, a person saw this on Pinterest and said, I can do this too at home since we have this. Let's go ahead and take a look at this one. All right, there we go. Everybody say fail. All right. before, yeah, oops. They're still happy. Okay. All right, a couple more, and then I promise I'll get more religious here. All right, fall will be here in a few months. I know we don't want to hear about that right yet, but, you know, then we get to harvest time, we get to Halloween, these kind of things. And you have a little kid. What a great picture this would be with a pumpkin. Go ahead and take a look at that. Isn't that adorable? All right, so we can all go ahead. If you have a little kid, you want to go ahead and try that. Let's go ahead and see how that works out. All right, yeah. Everybody say fail. All right. And then I know it's not, believe it or not, it probably will not be too early to start thinking about Christmas. And at Christmas, you know, people with little kids want to go ahead and put them on cards and send them out and really make them look. Look how beautiful this next one is right here. Isn't that adorable? Isn't that awesome? All you need is a kid and some lights, and it'll really work out. Let's take a look how this one worked out. Everybody, all right, everybody say fail. All right, awesome. Epic fail. All right. You see, we have a problem of comparison. We got problems. Tell somebody next to you, we got problems. We got big problems. Now, some of you may say, Jack, I don't even have an internet connection. I don't do that. But we compare ourselves all the time. We compare ourselves. It might be HDTV. It might be that we look out the window and we compare ourselves with our neighbors. It may be that our best friends we compare with. But we have a problem with comparison. And it's not a medium. I'm not talking about the internet or television. It's not the medium that we do it. I'm talking about the mindset of comparison that we have in our culture, that we want to keep up with the Joneses next door. Last week we talked about Abraham, and we started with a verse that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And we talked about that he gave God glory, which gave God more weight. So today we're going to talk about another major person of faith, probably the most major person in the Old Testament. His name is Moses. And Moses was an extremely powerful person in the history of the Israelite history, God's people. Moses once said about himself, said, "There has never been a more humble man on the face of the earth." Moses said that about himself. Did you get that? He said, "There's never been a more humble person than me." That's pretty awesome. And you know, this verse that we read in 2 Corinthians today is referring to a section of Scripture in Exodus chapter 34. I challenge you to go read that. But what would happen is Moses had this really cool relationship with God, that he would go and meet with God in a tent or on a mountain. And when he would meet with God, his face would get really, really bright. Really, really bright. Because something about the glory, remember we talked about the weight, but the weight of the presence of God would somehow, by spending time with him, glow on his face. And it freaked people out. He would come down off the mountain, people were like, "Whoa, what's going on with him? Look at his face." And it was so weighty for them. So Moses did something. He took a veil in the Scripture, and he would put it over his face so that people would go ahead and it would keep the light down. They'd still see it, but it would keep it down. And I have always heard and learned that this was part of him keeping the brightness down in his face-to-face reaction with God so that the people weren't scared. So in some ways, it was a mercy gift for the people because they couldn't look in the reflected glory of God that was shining from Moses' face. But Paul gives us some interesting insider information for the first time that I read as I was studying this verse that I think is really, really powerful that I want to share. And here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. And it's also printed within your bulletin, so you can follow along, fill in, and I believe you know, we will also have them online today, later as well. But if you look here, he says, the Apostle Paul said, we're bold. And then he says, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Now, wait a second. I always thought that Moses had a veil because he was shining all the time, and he wanted to keep that from them. But this, Paul says, wait a second, I know what folklore says, but I have a little bit of insider information. Moses put the veil over his face to actually put up a post to say the glory of God was fading away. Did you read that? So it wasn't just that he had this glory that was with him all the time that was shining, but the presence of God came on him, and as time went on, it started to fade from him, and he was afraid that the people would actually see that the glory of God was fading from his life. So he put up a post to say, oh, everything's good. I'm perfect. I'm humble. I got glory. You can't tell. It's under this veil. Now, I find that really interesting because that means in ancient Israel, Moses would have been a Pinterest user. He would have gone ahead and done that. Under the old covenant, what we find is there was no power to transform. It just came upon and left, and the glory of God faded in his life. I started to even name this message, what veil are you wearing? But I wanted to make another connection. So what we learn in verse 12 is, therefore, since we have hope, we are very bold. And what Paul is saying here is, Paul is going after Moses and saying, you think Moses is really awesome, but Moses put up a pin on his board to say the glory was fading. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not a preacher, Paul's saying, I'm not a preacher that's going to put a veil over. I want to show you my scars on my face. I want to show you that I've got a little bit of acne. I want to show you that I'm a little bit broken. And I want to show you that this is who I am, and God's glory is greater than that, and it won't fade no matter what happens with me. Paul wanted to remove any kind of veil to show his flaws, his hurts, and his challenges. Paul actually takes on Mr. Humble, Moses, in this. I find it, you learn a little bit about Paul's personality here as well. So number one on our sheet is, there is a problem with our pretending. There's a problem with our pretending. Problem with our pretending. I heard a pastor once say that the best thing a pastor can do to reach people is to never preach to who people pretend to be, but preach to who they are. In other words, when we come into churches, we often may have had a week from hell. We may have had a week that tore us apart. We may have had a great week. But often we come in and we try to remain exactly the same. We try to put on a good face. And people will go to us and will say, how are you doing? I'm fine. I'm good. Yeah, it's great. When meanwhile, we're broken completely in there. You know what we're doing? We're putting this up. I say, how are you doing, Jack? Oh, it's great. Everything's awesome. It's good. Yeah, it's fantastic. You're good? Oh, yeah, good. Great. Yeah, we're wonderful. We're awesome. Yeah, just continue. Oh, yeah, I thought I heard that you had a bad diagnosis. Yeah, you know, but God's in control. And we do this time and time and time again. We live behind the veil, and there's a lot of effort to live behind the veil in perfection when we're not. You know, I had a discussion, and you know, over the last months and years, this next year, 2016, I will have been a pastor for exactly 20 years. And in looking at that, I was just thinking about, you know, kind of like birthdays and stuff are like transitional moments and just life. And over the last several months, I've been looking at the state of the church. And I have concerns for Church Universal as we're out there. And some concerns come up in the way church is to be. Sometimes I wonder if we're losing in the Church Universal, we're using the connective power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ in a loving relationship with God for trying to make people feel good. And it's a concern. I think we do feel good when we recognize that we have hope in the glory of Christ Jesus. That's what this series is about. But one of the things, I had a discussion with someone who was part of a church for a while, and they began to express to me some concerns that they had about what they believed the perception of the direction of the church. Because when people have issues, it's always about out here, not about the mirror, in case you haven't learned that in life. It's never, you can't see yourself real good in a veil against the mirror, can you? But you can see everything else clearly, you think. And in this discussion, one of the problems that the person had with me was that I was preaching from what I was going through in my life. And my response was, you're darn right I do. The fact that I said that I am always going to preach from the experience of my life that God has given to me, because guess what? You go through it and I go through it as well. One of the greatest compliments I ever had as a young pastor was an older man came up to me and said, Jack, is the first pastor I've ever had that tells us he's a sinner too. Because I am. I got some good ones. We ain't talking about it here. That's between me and God. But you know what? If we wanted to rank them up there, I'd probably give you some competition over the years. And the moment I stop sharing my life and what God does in it and the struggles I have in it is the moment I step down from this. Because I believe that what God wants me to do is pour me out to recognize that His grace is sufficient even in a mess of a life like this. Anybody awake? Okay, and so you're not going to see perfection here. This is an ugly post on Pinterest. It looks like those crayons or those deviled eggs, not the good ones. But when we have that, and my response to this person was, you bet I will always do that. I'll always share what I'm going through. And so the other week, as I was looking at this, I have to tell you, I stopped and I was asking God, God, is this where the church is going that we have to put on that everything's wonderful and tell us that everything is smiling and happy through life when it's not? And if it is, somehow along the line, God, I miss the whole suffering and passion of you and of all your disciples who died a martyr's death except for one. And the people who are suffering today in the world because of faith in you, I'm missing how that fits in to our positive affirmation that everything's great and we skip through the daisies. And I heard this voice from God and some other things from others who said, Jack, just shut up and keep doing what you're doing. And for me, the biggest concern is that so many today are preaching from their point of strength, not from their area of weakness. And I think it's, as the scripture says, that through Christ, it's when I'm weak, He is made strong. Not at my strength is He made stronger, but in my weakness, Christ is made stronger. That's what the Apostle Paul said. You know, I heard about, in planning for the sermon, I heard a pastor, it reminded me of a sermon I heard many years ago, where a pastor was sharing about how he went to a church, and it was a big church for a Christmas Eve pageant, and they had like 6 or 7 people up there, and they were talking about their Christmas memories. And the first person stood up and came over, and they said, tell us about your greatest church memories, your greatest Christmas memories. And the person said, well, I remember sitting around an open fire roasting chestnuts. The next person came up and said, he stole mine, but we made a snowman and roasted chestnuts. And the other person talked about how nobody opened presents. We just sat around and read the Christmas story about Jesus in Bethlehem, and we roasted chestnuts. And the person heard this from about 6 people and said, who in the heck does that? We sing about roasting chestnuts. I have never roasted a chestnut in my life. I'm 44 years old. Has anybody roasted a chestnut on an open fire? All right, well, you're not 44. You're maybe a little bit over. Okay. Okay. All right. I didn't say it. But one after the other after the other after the other was sharing this stuff. And the person said, after he left there, they would have been more affected and reached others if they had talked about how Uncle Sal came in to Christmas drunk with somebody who we don't even know who it is, and he got so mad he fell out and passed out in the turkey and the slaw and then woke up and threw a fruitcake at somebody, and Sally came in and she's pregnant and nobody knows who it is, and it might even be Uncle Sal's, we don't know. Who roasts chestnuts besides them? There's something about us that we want to put on this veil and say that everything is awesome when we just have a relationship with God. Everything's easy. All we have to do is Christmas. You know, and in our churches, we do the same thing. You know what's annoying? What's annoying for me is if you get with other pastors. Everybody's church is growing and booming. We had 30,000 hits on the website this week, and you know, we had standing room only, and people were, you know, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear how the money's not where it needs to be, and the problems in the community are so big, you don't even know how to begin to reach out there, and you're struggling with it, because in our weakness, He is made strong. And when we put the veil on, we miss it. Stop putting the veil on. You don't look any better. Remember the Bugs Bunny cartoon where they had the good eyes for the girl and took it off and it was like, ah! Let us see each other like that so we know what we're dealing with in the world. You see, I'm not going to put on a veil. And I've done it before because I've bought into feeling that's what we're supposed to do. I want to always be real. And for that person who had a problem with me sharing my life, guess what? There might be someplace else for you because I'm going to share who I am and who Christ called me to be. Because when I'm tired, you will see it. When I'm frustrated, you're going to see it. When I'm hurt, you will see it and hear it. When I'm looking good, you'll definitely see it. When I'm humble, I'll say, I'm sorry, and I'll go ahead. I'll say it, and I'll live it. God help me if I ever stop being the person that Christ created me to be. Verse 14 says, but their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. Their minds were dull because everything was veiled. You know, I want to show you a picture of my kids, all right? Look at that. That was Christmas this year. Don't they look like little angels? It's amazing how a picture can fool you. Because usually for us to get ready to go to something like this, I am so Ebenezer Scrooge filled by the time I get there, I want to rip my hair out and theirs too. And they smile all beautiful and you say, oh, isn't that cute? That's just wonderful. To get that picture is living hell. So I just wanted to show a little couple video clips, not of this, but just of life in the Cohen household, just really briefly. So if you can turn up the sound, Andy, and there you go, Melinda.
Let's go. Go on a journey.
What are you doing?
Oh, Christ.
Come here. Come here. Come here.
All right, that's some of the good craziness. I left out all the fights, the arguments, the hits, the blood-curdling screams. That's just some of the craziness. And most of that stuff happens before you get to this picture, all the way there. It's not, they don't just sit around and go, ah. Yes, Father, we love you. Yes. Yes, Father, what shall you want me to pick up at this moment? Because I'm sure there's nothing there because I've cleaned everything up. It doesn't happen. It's real. I know that was one of the things that my father was talking about, that they used to say, hey, well, you're a preacher's kid. You know, you need to be good. And that was one of the things, that was one of the weights he never wanted to put on us. And believe me, if, you know, they allowed us freedom, they brought us in when we needed to, as we do. But guess what? If you expect, because I'm a pastor, my family to be absolutely perfect, you're missing the boat. It's not. There are times where there's arguments daily between a couple of the kids. That on the way here to church, one was ticked off and nasty and miserable. And that was me. But what I'm saying is, we're real. The veil's not there. You know, if you see me, you're going to see me as being who I am. And so what we find out here is, I want to share this. The most important way to help somebody in life is not you should. To help and encourage, it's not you should, but it's this other statement, me too. We've lost the power of me too. You know, you may not be struggling with addiction, but I guarantee you're addicted to something else. And you can say, hey, you know, me too, I'm struggling. Or you may say, you know, there's times where I'm so lonely and depressed that I wish I was dead. And you can say, me too. Or there's other times where you can say, I feel angry a lot, just angry for no reason. Me too. You see, there's times, you know, where I doubt that God even cares or is even there. And you can say, you know what? Me too. There's power in me too. But often, and I'll tell you, pastors are the worst. Because we go right to our book. And we say, well, you know, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord and all, and lean on him, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and that'll be good. Meanwhile, pastors are struggling with their own stuff in life. Several months ago, one of the most detrimental things that hit me like a ton of bricks, don't even have a clue who the guy is, but I get these church leader insight emails, and there's a pastor who gave a sermon on Sunday, went and had a meeting on Monday or Tuesday, and came home that night and shot himself. Because he had the veil on his life and had no one to reach out that said, me too. No one to turn to. He felt he had to post and be perfected in perfection. And there's people that all the time in society are veterans. Up to 24 a day are committing suicide. Because they don't have the people that are reaching out and saying, me too, let me journey with you. But they feel like they need to keep it all together. There's something wrong. There's something wrong in there. Not you should, but come along and say me too. Take the veil off. Tell somebody, take the veil off. Tell somebody, take it off. Take off the veil. Me too. Tell somebody me too. Stop living in the world that is dying from trying to keep up the presence of perfection in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:14b, it's printed right in your bulletin, says, it has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. You see, all other religions and all other things attempt to do it this way. You've got stuff that you have to do. It's about performance and perfection. Only Christ can remove the veil once and for all. In Matthew chapter 27, it's no mistake that they talk about at the moment that Jesus cried out in a loud cry on the cross and gave up his life. It says the curtain or the veil between the holiest place or the most holy place and the rest of the temple where the presence of God dwelt in the temple was ripped in two. Because at that moment, Jesus took all the sin on the world and God could come out and be with us. In the Old Testament, we saw a veiled God, a God that we only saw by here. But when Jesus died, it was ripped apart. We can see God now face to face, even better than Moses did. In 2 Corinthians 3:15, it says, even to this day when Moses is read, the old covenant, a veil covers their hearts. A veil covers their hearts. So what do we need to do? We need to stop being bound to posting perfection. We need to stop being bound to posting perfection in our lives and be set free in Christ. Somebody say set free. You see, there's a problem in Corinth. They're stuck in looking at the glory days of Moses. The good old days. The glory days are not as glorious as they may have thought. I know for us as well. You ever just stop one time and you say, man, life was so much better when I was in college. Life was so much better when I was in high school. You remember when I had, before I was married, it was so much better. Or, you know, when it was just us and no kids, it was so much better. You remember all those things? You say these things. And you know what? They really weren't that good. We just like to think that way. I know somebody here was prom king or queen, and you used to bench 500 pounds, and your back is still hurting from it. But the problem is our memories are selective and defective because what we do is we clean up those memories. We make them good. And we stop focusing on the moment that's in front of us. One of the things is I've had several lately, but funerals. You ever been to a funeral and you knew this person and they start and they say, she was the most loving, kind, compassionate individual, never spoke a negative word. No, she was evil. She would cuss you out just by looking at her. But somewhere along the line, just because somebody died, we got to make them feel good. They don't care. They're dead. Why are we making ourselves feel good that this person was a jerk? Because there are some people like that. Amen? All right. Yes. Gary knows a few. See what happens? Our memories factor out the pain. We feel like we need to wash it up and make it look good. Because the good old days are not so good. Some people may say, you know, the good old days at Haven, I miss the good old days at Haven. If you say that, you weren't setting up chairs. You weren't getting a trailer. Right, friend? Amen. The good old days are now. Because now is where God is moving. He moved then, he's moving now. We live in imagination often of what we think life could be. Today is the glory days, the days of God's glory. In verse 16 it says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is what? Taken away when you turn to the Lord. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord there is what? Somebody say freedom. Somebody say freedom. I won't let you down. I want to sing that song. We must stop being bound to posting perfection in our lives and be free in Christ. We got to stop getting stuck in the good old days. But we must stop being bound to posting perfection in our life and be set free in Christ. I believe today God wants to set somebody free. For where the Spirit of the Lord what? Where the Spirit of the Lord what? Is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Not was, not will be. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Today is the day of the Lord's glory. Today is the glory day. Not was or going to be. In verse 18, it says, and we all, whom with unveiled faces, this is freedom. We don't have to cover up. Some of you have had the opportunity to see me in a store when I have my kids with me. And I'm talking to somebody about something churchy, and I start to be very pastoral. Is that good? Usually it's on a cart. Okay. Is that pastoral enough? And my kids are like fighting and throwing stuff and running down the aisles, and I'm doing one of these. When we get home. Right? Guess what? The veil's out there in those moments. The veil is gone. That's freedom. Veiled faces keep others seeing you clearly. But you know what? It has another way. It also keeps you from seeing God. If you veil your face to protect yourself, it keeps you from others seeing you, but it does keep you from seeing God and seeing what he wants to show you in your life. It keeps you from seeing yourself. So I want to give you some homework as we wind this down, as the praise team comes up. Instead of comparing yourself to others' glory, instead of looking at the Pinterest of your lives, try to contemplate the glory of God. Maybe you need to just take a step back. Just take a step back in life. And some of the things, the areas that you find yourself just comparing and comparing and comparing, you need to just lay it down and say, maybe I need to back off from here. Maybe it's just as much as taking out your phone. If you have one of these like smartphones, take them out right now. And how many of you have a Bible app on there? Maybe it's just a matter of moving the Bible app in front of Facebook on your front page, not the Bible app on the third page. And when you want to look at what's going on in life, you don't look to what others are doing and compare yourself to them, but you pull out the Word of God and compare yourself to what he says about you. That he says in Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for you to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you what? Hope and a future. Contemplate. Think about that. Get the veil off. Because in verse 18, the second section says, when we do that, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. The old translations used to say from glory to glory. From glory to glory. We often go from mistake to glory or mess up to glory. We were made in his image. We're so busy in our lives trying to present an image that God never intended for us to have. So here's your last thing that you're going to fill in. This week, if you want the hope that Christ gives you and you want to be set free, compare less and contemplate more. Compare less to others and contemplate more on who the Christ says you are. Because as we reminded from the beginning service today, the beginning song, today is the day. Today is the day of your freedom. Today is the glory day. Amen? Amen? All right, get on up. Bow your heads. Lord God, as we come to this point where we want to connect to you, I'm just going to pray right now. God, I'm going to put this veil up. I'm going to put it up here. And I know that around this room, people are living with the weight of this veil. With the weight of this veil. It may seem light, but you know what, God? It masks us from what others see in us, the failures, the faults, all the other things. But God, it also keeps us from truly seeing you in our life. And so God, right now, what I want to do is in Christ Jesus, I want people just to commit and just rip it off. Christ, you just tore it off. And you love us as we are, even in the mess that we are, even in the struggles that we have, even if our families and our lives are just a mess. You love us where we are, but you love us too much to leave us that way. So God, if there's someone right here who's struggling with God, I've been praying. And I'm going to put on the face and be like everything's great, but really underneath it, you know I'm broken. You know I can't see where your healing's happening. You know I can't see where your restoration is happening. You know I can't see where you're bringing hope where there's loneliness. You know I can't see or experience that I am loved and I feel lonely, but nobody can see through this veil. But God, I want you to remove it and I want you to heal my heart. Lord, as our Stephen ministers come up today that are available for prayer, I want your spirit to move. For where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God, I just have a feeling that there are many people who are bound. Some are just bound right to the seats that they're at. And I pray that you'll remove the veil of the seat that they're in so that they can take a step forward to connect and say, God, I need freedom. And I want to experience that in you. For Lord God, when everything else in life fails, you are still God. And our hope resides in you. And so during this point, God, if there's someone who's never committed their life to Jesus Christ, and they recognize that on the cross, the veil was torn. And now we can have a relationship with you, just as Moses, and even more intense, that the glory doesn't fade but rests in us, that our hope of glory is Christ in you. And that's our hope. Lord, if someone needs to just commit their lives to Christ, let them just raise their hands right now and say, I want to commit my life to you, Jesus. Somebody needs to have that veil removed. Just lift your hand up and say, I need the veil removed. And God, I know that veil is weighing them down, but just let it be removed. Let them be the person that you created them to be. And let all people say, amen and amen. Our Stephen ministers are available to pray with you.
Given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion.
Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit and has given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe. We believe.
Sing that chorus one time. All together, us voices. We believe, right? We believe in God. Sing it out together, one voice.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back again.
One more time.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
I just want to say you got a little bit of the veil drop there. My daughter Abigail's been having major problems with her back, and it's, you know, she keeps on, the face keeps going, but it's been really painful for her. And as parents, you know, you feel helpless to do these things. And in some ways it's gotten better, in some ways it's not. And so how awesome that God gives a message about dropping this veil, and so you can see that, you know, we have issues too in our families, and it hurts. And so you see him smiling and laughing up there, then inside there's a young girl who's 14 who's dealing with stuff that she shouldn't have to deal with at her age. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. And guess what? As I look around this place here, there's many of you still have a veil up. You're hurting. You've got health issues. You've got frustrations. You've got life that didn't turn out the way it is, and you still got the veil up. But God wants you to drop that off and say, hey, you know what? Here I am. And what we did, you know, this week, Fred right here, he's been dealing with some health issues, and God has been awesome. We anointed and prayed for him, and he wasn't in the mood for it the other night, am I right? But God is good. And God has made a way in that and is bringing about healing in his life. You see, Scripture tells us Satan is a roaming lion seeking whom he may devour. And he doesn't have to devour anybody who's devouring themselves. Those who are growing closer to the Lord, he wants to tear you out. And so if you're dealing with something now, I'm just going to ask you to sing that chorus one more time. And if you believe in the resurrection, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that he conquered death, then drop the veil and let God minister to you. They're here. We follow the scripture that if you anoint someone with oil, a prayer and faith will make that one well. And we let God work out the wellness. But we come together as people of faith in this church saying, God, we can't fix it, but you can. And our hope is in you. Our hope is in the glory of Christ Jesus that is in you. And so I'm just going to ask you to sing that again. I don't care whether we're here the rest of the day. We got potatoes. So you just come on up and you just want to pray. If you don't want to do it right now, after the song, come on up. They'll be here. Pray for healing. Pray for somebody else in your life. Don't miss this opportunity to allow the Lord to work in your life and let that veil drop. Amen.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
More time.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back.
We're going to continue in this atmosphere of just connecting to God. This week, I want this to just be a Compassion Sunday. I want you to be thinking about how God wants you to just reach out to others this week and just be that compassionate heart. Don't worry about posting your perfection. Show somebody the unveiled you. It may not be pretty, but it's real. Amen? All right, so again, what I'm going to do right now, I'm just going to give kind of a blessing so people can get tables and other kinds of things together. But I just want to pray. Lord God, I just pray for everybody here and those watching online or may watch later this week, that wherever they are, I just pray that veils are dropping all over the place and that people are connecting and being transformed in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Even in the and remember, He wasn't too pretty to look at on a cross when He was naked and bleeding and dying. But God, that is the most beautiful thing because it brought us healing. And so right now, as this healing spirit is just continuing in this place or wherever everyone is right now, God, I just ask right now that people just connect and reach out to You and that You bring a newness of life into them. And so as we go forth, God, I ask for a blessing over those who are going to partake in the meal today or wherever they're headed, that God, your spirit will be present and will bless the food, nourishing their bodies, but ultimately, God, that we will be the church that You created us to be. We love You, and we believe in You, and we give You thanks. And anyone else who wants to come up for prayer, for healing, or anything else, please go ahead, just wander up here. We'll make sure that happens. Have an awesome week in Jesus. Everybody have an awesome week in Jesus. We'll see you next week. God bless.